This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, all right. It's Friday, the end of an amazing week. I don't have my co-host with me tonight. Dr. Tim Slecker is not on the scene, but I'm here. Dr. Johnny with you tonight. And I got Aaron on the boards. It's going to be a banger of a Friday. We're going to wrap up the week. We're going to talk shop and we're going to take calls. So if you're out there and you want to call, anything you want to chop it up with, education talk, fully leaded education talk. We are educated educator talking education tonight. The number 855-752-4842. Go ahead and give us a call if you want to join the conversation. Well, usually on Fridays, we recap the week, Tim and I. So it's just going to be a Johnny recap with any callers that call in. Or you know what? You're just going to get a full dose of me otherwise. And Aaron, thanks for being on the boards for us tonight. All right. So this week was it a special week, especially coming off of last week. I mean, last week is still resonating with me. I know usually our producer, Anya, on most nights, her and I are both still starstruck from the Martin Atkins joining us last week from the Post. Yeah.
I loved that show. That was awesome. That was so cool to hear from him about all this.
Yeah, I love it. Aaron, thanks for hopping on because, yeah, it was rocking, man. I mean, that's just a legend. He's a humble man. He's wise. He's got so much to offer, especially he works with people, music of all genres, right? And of all kinds of sound engineering and many things related. But he came on the show because he has a lot to offer in terms of what artists bring to education and that process and that creativity. So amazing show. If you get a chance, you can always go back and download it. It's from last week, Thursday. But this week, so that really set up an amazing conversations all week this week. On Monday, we had a really great guest, Tabitha D'Angelo, or Del Angelo, I should say. I always want to say D, but it's Del Angelo, the interim dean of the College of Education at College of New Jersey. And she came on and she talked and reminded us about the importance of how we can emphasize our civic duty by running for school board, by being participatory in that process, and just all around great conversation around schools. And the role we can play as teacher educators, but also as just citizens in our community to being present at the importance of supporting public schools. So great conversation on Monday with Dr. Tabitha Del Angelo. And then Tuesday, wow, man, my brain was just blown because we talk often and it's a super important issue everywhere in the country, but especially in Wisconsin. You know, the battle to understand how charter schools are funded and the political funding to push for vouchers and for really a lack of accountability for charter schools. And really, this is more of just the dismantling of public education in favor of marketized, you know, options in terms more charter schools. And we had some guests from Colorado. Mike DeGere and Jane Shirley came on the show and kind of blew my mind talking about this concept, dark money, and sort of understanding the funding behind really pushing for there to be no accountability for charter schools. In a sense, this was really important because so often where we think of things as like you're either for charters or you're against charters. Well, they kind of came on the show and talked about how rather than be just opposed to charters, what they would really like to see in Colorado and in other places too, is at the very least accountability for charter schools. And so, the Democrat governor in Colorado. So we often think of this as like Republicans are pro, you know, privatization of schools and Democrats defend public education. Well, you know what, you know, there are Republicans and Democrats who aren't really doing a whole lot to defend public education and in fact can be bought out and into supporting, right, no accountability for charters, and in fact, green lighting so many of these non-public options into public and into school systems, where ultimately schools, families, and communities, you know, become the victims of marketized education, where there's a pitch, hey, we got this great solution, you can choose to come here, but delivery is often fallen short. And in Colorado, there's a ballot, you know, out there. There's a legislative bill coming together to say, hey, we need more accountability for all schools, but especially for these charters that do exist. They should have to function within school district regulations, and they should have to be accountable just like any other place where children are learning in our state. And so, you know, they came on, they talked about this concept that really blew my mind, dark money. And so, you know, I'm just trying to loop back around to it on Tuesday. Jane Shirley and Mike DeGeyer came on and talked about, so why, like, there are billions of dollars getting poured into supporting essentially vouchers or a lack of accountability for any option than other than public schools. So we hold public schools accountable at the state level, but right now there are groups and foundations and donors that are at like pouring big money into, you know, making sure there's no accountability and that there's really just a clear path for market options in the field of education. And that really is, it means charter schools, right? And so, but they talked about this concept, dark money. And it was new, it was a newer concept to me. And I thought it was kind of helpful, because I always like to think, well, if you got a bill that's proposed and you've got people opposing it or, you know, advocating for it, let's follow the money. Let's kind of figure out who's funding what. Well, there's this concept called dark money. In politics in particular, dark money refers to spending to influence elections. This is money specifically used to influence elections, public policy, and political discourse. But here's the catch, where the source of the money is not disclosed, right? So it's really, truly a system of smoke and mirrors and sort of like a laundering, we might say, of money, so that they're, the money can't be followed. So it's funneled into influencing elections, public policy, and political discourse, but the money can't be traced back to where it's coming from. Well, you know, so they talk about this large amounts of dark money funding this, are opposing this bill put forth to have accountability for all schools in the state of Colorado. This is kind of important because we got to be on watch for this. Like, we all, here we are, exercising our civic duty, we have to be defenders of democracy, right? I know, like, here we are, this is the education talk show, so we're talking about education, but really broadly, we're talking about defenders of democracy, not only in what's taught and learned in schools, but in the policies and the politics that make that teaching and learning possible. So supporting public schools, you know, for us defenders of democracy, is a no-brainer. However, there are Democrat governors, there are Republican governors, because remember, education is a state right. So this is why I'm kind of looping us back around to governors. There's state legislation that is absolutely dismantling the bedrock of democracy in our states, and that's our public schools. So we're trying to say, where is the money coming from to support something that's against the best interests of democracy in our states, right? And so we're trying to trace back the money. And our guests on Tuesday talked about this concept of dark money. And they also talked about how, you know, it's worded in good intention. So we say things like, hey, you know, this particular donor or this particular foundation is giving money to help improve students' learning. And that's kind of vague. Really, we have to read between the lines and see they're actually funding school choice and charters as options. That might sound in a marketing campaign as a slam dunk for education, but it's absolutely not. Because what we know from researchers like guests we've had on for the last month or so, researcher after researcher keeps coming on and saying, actually, this whole like green lighting charter thing has done nothing to make education better for students. It has not provided, by and large, more options or better opportunities for learning. And in fact, it's kind of gone down. We could spend less on higher yield solutions in our public schools and get more. And so there's this kind of system of smoke and mirrors and political talk that's really important to understand, but money talks. And so when we're able to walk back and look through, you know, where's the money coming from? Well, who's the influences? This concept of dark money involved in this, I think, was really illuminating and great conversation on Tuesday. We got a couple minutes before we go to break, so I'll bust to Wednesday and then bring it back around. But wow, Wednesday, you know what, folks? This week we had Educator Amplified, because every week we have Educators Amplified on Wednesday evening with us, and it was a great conversation. I'll admit, man, I got frustrated, and that happens sometimes on good radio or good conversation. It's like anytime you get together with your friends and you're sitting around a table and you're talking, or you're out on the porch, maybe having a pop or two, you're having a conversation and things, you know, we don't always all agree. Things get a little heated. Well, you know what? Educators Amplified and Busted Pencils, 99.9% of the time all agree. And we all agreed on Wednesday, but it got dicey because, you know, our guy, Tim, he's not here with us tonight. He's usually chopping it up with me. He likes to assign articles for us to read. And we read this article, and he's a great teacher because by design, he gave us this article to be a little bit frustrating for us. And it was talking about this curriculum materials that are really important for teachers to use, like tested and high quality curriculum materials as the solution. All right. To, you know, to this idea of learning loss and low performing test scores, which Tim already knows, right? That not only do Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie and Johnny here, we are all about fed up with hearing about test scores and what students aren't doing. I mean, this is the language of putting the blame on teachers and students. And so he gave us this article about, you know, high quality curriculum materials and this whole pitch coming forward. And, you know, and it was frustrating because we're like, really, still we're doing this? But the big important point that, you know, Tim was bringing to the show on Wednesday, and it really is important, as much as it frustrated me and, you know, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, you know, they navigated it well because they have to all the time as teachers. But the reality is high quality curriculum materials are being shoved in teachers' faces all the time. We're going to take a break. When we come back, give us a call. We'll bust some pencils and recap the week. We're back. Great tunes. Aaron on the board, throwing down some great sounds to help us transition on this Friday. Hey, it's been a banger of a week, folks. Hope listeners out there, you've had a great week and you're headed into a beautiful weekend. This is Busted Pencils, fully led education talk. Educated here today, talking education. You're welcome to give us a call. Give me a call, 855-752-4842, or you can drop a comment in the feed. There's a number of ways you can get at us. If you download the Civic Media app, you can always listen to all the great programming on Civic Media live. That way, of course, I'm talking about this week's episodes. You can grab them off the Civic Media website as well, or wherever you get your podcasts. But we had a lot of great content this week, amazing discussions. Right before we went to break, I was talking about how great it was, you know, for Tim to get us all riled up on Wednesday with Educators Amplified, who always talk about the importance of being, you know, regulated as an educator, but also, you know, as just in general, a human being committed to their wellness. It's good to stay regulated. I got all dysregulated on Wednesday. Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, they navigate that with such prowess. They were able to like move through it and talk shop about, curriculum materials that are tested and, you know, important curriculum materials for teachers. And the really thing is I got all riled up because I'm just overhearing it. Stop. what I read is that there's something to sell teachers. There's something that's going to fix a problem in schools. And here's what we know, and we keep having researcher after researcher come on the show and share this, is things, there are things that need improvement in schools. There are a lot of things we need to address. This idea that children have fallen far behind and that they're not learning in classrooms is absolutely cooked up. It's manufactured by all of these high stakes tests and these, different materials that keep pushing the bar higher and higher up at what grade level young people are learning. For example, if you're thinking about, say, second grade, the expectation is really like third, fourth grade material, or it's obscured into this fact that you may be right on track for what we'd understand you to be at or want you to be at as educators in second grade. But the way that we're measuring this, we're calling students who fall under a certain test score as not proficient, but really they're just fine for where they're at grade level. And so there's a lot of misleading information out there that has led to this conversation that, hey, everyone's behind and we're doomed. And guess what? We've got this magnificent curriculum set of materials to put into the classroom, and fix the problem. The other part of what we talked about on Wednesday was this is an age old trick, is just to teacher proof the classroom. So these are materials, Tim had us reading about this, promotion for these materials that are going to teacher proof the classroom. And what that means is, hey, it's going to standardize things to the point where, it doesn't matter whether, like, you might be worried that teachers are out there indoctrinating, which we know is a myth, but that's sort of the accusation. But teachers won't be able to teach what they know or need to teach at the moment. They'll have to stay on script and on pace, and these materials will help make sure they do that. Every good teacher out there kind of, is like, here we go again with this. That is just not good teaching. It's not good teaching and learning to just follow a script and be on this exact day, the exact thing on the same time, on the same day everywhere. It's just not how it works. You can't mechanize learning. And there are people out there who really push for that. That's a segue into what we did on Thursday, but I'm going to come back to all this, because when I say you can't mechanize learning, well, you can mechanize a whole lot of things. And so we got back to talking about AI on Thursday, and we had, guest Tom Maloney on, and he's got some really amazing work. He calls himself a critic of AI, but I think he uses that word in a really thoughtful way. He is like hyper aware and knowledgeable of the limitations and what AI, different AI softwares can do, especially related to how they impact our classroom. So we had a great discussion about this. And you all know, if you listen to Busted Pencils, you hear Tim and I go back and forth. We're duking it out over this one. Tim loves the AI. I'm an AI hater, right? And so we've taken sides. We're taking calls all the time. We're getting opinions on this. We're also getting researchers who come in and give us really good background information and research they're doing on AI, and specifically around AI in the classroom or AI in learning. And so we had a great conversation about that. Because I'm a standby. You cannot mechanize teaching. Teaching is something that's highly relational. It's situational. It's contextual. And to my knowledge, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, I'm not an expert on the technologies. I'm sort of a Luddite when it comes to this. But to my knowledge, there is yet the capacity. AI does not have the capacity to, in the moment, be responsive in situational, contextual ways with diverse learners and students. It's just not human. And so I'm not saying that a bad teacher is better than AI, but a good teacher will never be able to, AI will never be able to do what a good teacher does. And so that loops me back around. I mean, we had Martin Atkins on 2 weeks ago, and he said the same thing. He said, like he actually kind of sides with Tim a little bit more on these AIs. He told a story about, he remembers when the drum machine came on the scene, and friends called him up and said, oh, there you go, Martin, your job is gone. You're going to have to find something else to do. You're going to be replaced as a drummer by a machine. And he thought, he listened to the drum machines, and even the most sophisticated drum machines, as they got better and better, he said, still, it just got rid of really crummy drummers. It made it so that like you kind of couldn't be a professional drummer and be mediocre. You had to be really good. And I kind of think the same thing, is getting pushed by AI and by a lot of the different technologies and a lot of these, even these highly successful curriculum materials that Tim had us reading about on Wednesday. All of these things that are just polluting the landscape of classrooms. One of the silver linings are is they're making it so you really can't be a bad teacher and be a teacher. We need great teachers out there, and good teachers are going to keep good teaching, because it's just something that we'll always need, will always be around, and it's something we need to get better at providing to every kid who's in a school, anywhere they are. So it's really important, kind of loops back around to like, why do we even talk about education as a, you know, bedrock of democracy, and then the importance for teachers to be able to do good teaching, because it's all relational, right? And so we're going to come back to that too when we come back after the break. We're going to talk about what does Johnny even mean. He's been talking and talking and talking about the themes of the week. He keeps coming back to this whole, you know, but it's all relational. So we're going to come back to that, and we're going to focus on, I'm going to break it down, teachers and the relationality of good teaching, right? So if you got me on the radio, you're listening, you're following along right now, hey, give us a call, 855-752-4842. This is Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, Educated Educator Talking Education. When we get back, relationality and what it means to do good teaching. Called out, refuse to hear the question. Silence is a virtue, use it for your own protection. I try to make it play their game, refuse to show your face. If you don't want to be beaten down, refuse to join their race. Be exactly who you want to be, do what you want to do. I am he and she is she, but you're the only you. Oh yeah, we are back. It's Friday. Recapping the week. Just Dr. Johnny here tonight. Dr. Tim not on the scene. Sometimes we all got to take a little break. Dr. Tim is off on a little bit of a break. Everything's all right though. We are Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Educated Educator here tonight talking education. Feel free if you want to drop a line, give us a call. 855-752-4842. Give us a call. We'll get you in on the show and we'll talk it up, chop it up. Whatever you want to talk about related to education or themes of the week. But when we went to the break, I talked about how I'd come back and I'd talk about that whole relationality thing. A whole idea that teaching is relational, it's situational, it's contextual, it's not mechanized. Regardless of how much we want AI to be part of our room, this still needs to be mediated and facilitated by a living, breathing being that is present with other living beings in the classroom. There will always be great teachers. We need more of them. So that kind of comes to teacher education and the whole landscape of, so what does it mean to be a teacher, to be a good teacher, to be committed to that relationality thing? You know, and I was thinking about that because we talked about it a lot this week. Educators Amplified on Wednesday always remind us of this, you know, really thinking about exploring outside of what is and dreaming together about what ought to be, but not just dreaming, making it happen, because that's what good teachers do, is they get out there and they know what's needed in their classrooms and they get the job done. Looping all the way back around to Monday, you know, our guest, Dr. Tabitha Del Angelo, you know, is a teacher educator and talked about this too, the need for us to really make sure that teachers are not only recruited to becoming great teachers, but they're learning to be great teachers. And so there are times I'm a skeptic. There are times, and our guest Tom Maloney last night talked about this too. AI kind of muddies the waters, right? It kind of makes for the possibility to assign assignments that, you know, could be AI generated response could fulfill the task. And so we want to steer away from that and be be really good teachers. And so that's why I kind of loop back around this idea of relationality. It reminds me a little bit though of the importance of the moment, because that's something else Tom Mullaney brought up about AI, is AI is actually not really intelligent. And I don't mean that as like a slam on it. It's not human. It can't think. It can only do predictive things based on information it has. So it's not really in real time intelligent. It's just, that's a marketing slogan for it. So it's artificial intelligence, right, is something that we need to be cautious about. And one of the reasons he said we need to be cautious about it specifically, not only by a question that a caller brought in and that Tim was talking about, was it's you know, using a chatbot to reenact, say, a historical figure has many layers of problems. One, we won't even get into it. It's like, who has the right to really say what someone who is no longer here would say? So we can only kind of speculate, and this gets kind of to be a slippery slope. We're speaking for those who are no longer with us, but it especially becomes problematic when we start to say, you know, I'm going to share here what Harriet Tubman would say in this context, or how, you know, students can ask questions, say the chatbot responds as, you know, Martin Luther King Jr., the Dr. Martin Luther King, you know. So this is not only highly problematic in the sense of that, but Tom Mullaney was talking about how here we were, you know, three white guys talking about AI. And one of the elephants in the room is that AI is actually very culturally biased, and in fact, reproducing some of the very problems that we are all committed to alleviating and eliminating. And so this idea that AI as it stands, these like language-based systems, show an incredible bias against, right? They're really discriminatory. They are very much, we can say, you know, part of the problem, and they're reproducing that problem at a rapid rate. So when it gets to be like, hey, can AI grade essays, or can AI review, you know, articles, can AI sort of serve this task, which in the state of Texas, it actually is being put to use to grade standardized tests now. It just got kind of that's a breaking news as of last week that, you know, that elementary, middle school, and high school student essays being written are graded not entirely by AI, but that a certain percentage, and it's a large percentage, would be graded by AI and sort of then compared to the human sort of grading version and calibrated as such. But that's really problematic, one, because if I'm a student and I'm writing an essay, who's reading it? Nobody, if it's AI. It's not even, you know, so it's like, are we really showing kids that their work matters if it's not going to be, remember I talked about this before the break, relational? It's not part of that relationship. This is going to be another meaningless task. So you know what I said to that? Why not just have them have AI generate it? We'll just have AI generate the essay, AI grade the essay, and then it's done. The human is no longer even important in the process, and what's learned and what's lost, you know, is a big problem. And so like I'm kind of really skeptical of this AI stuff. But especially around the way when I didn't realize, and I should have known, it's pretty obvious, it's based on the information it can mine and get access from, that it's highly reproducing, you know, racism right now. It's been found to be really culturally biased. And so that's a massive problem, because if we're talking about, you know, that we want to, as a field of education, work to alleviate, you know, racism, you know, eliminate it and work towards that, but yet then here we are employing these systems that are shown to perpetuate it. It's a big problem. So, you know, teaching is kind of, it's an exciting time and an important time to be thinking about being a teacher, or to be learning to be a teacher, or to be a teacher. In 1963, James Baldwin, you know, wrote an important essay. Well, actually it was published as an essay, but it was given as an address to teachers and school leaders. And in a talk to teachers, James Baldwin gave a really timely quote to this. And he said, "Let's begin by saying that we are living through a very dangerous time. We are in a revolutionary situation. No matter how unpopular that the world has become, that word has become in this country. A society in which we live is desperately menaced from within. To any citizen of this country who figures himself as responsible, and particularly those of you who deal with the minds and hearts of young people, must be prepared to go for broke. Or to put it another way, you must understand that in the attempt to correct so many generations of bad faith and cruelty, when it is operating not only in the classroom but in society, you'll be met with the most fantastic, the most brutal, and the most determined resistance. James Baldwin, 1963, telling teachers, there might not be a more important job, but don't get the job misunderstood. It's not only a hard and important job, but it's one that is going to be under massive attack. And unfortunately, that has held true, that teachers that are out there doing good teaching are constantly under fire, whether it's, you know, really important curriculum that's being imposed on them, and I put quotes around really important, whether it's dark money getting poured into, you know, green lighting, you know, private charters and going against public schools, whether it's AI being introduced in irresponsible ways into classrooms, you know, all of these things not only harm the landscape of what constitutes our public schools, but they directly harm children, and they directly harm the people working on the front lines to help those children be learners and teachers. So, you know, I'm really reminded that, like, teachers out there doing great work, that work will be met with the most fantastic resistance. Hopefully, one thing we're trying to do here at Busted Pencils, and I know a lot of other people out there are trying to do the same thing, Educators Amplified does this, is we are trying as hard as we can to be the opposite of that fantastic resistance that you're feeling. If you're a teacher, we're working, and there are networks of people all over doing this work, but, you know, we're trying to every day, at the very least, acknowledge that you're on the front line doing really important, irreplaceable, relational work. And that stuff that, you know, hopefully each theme and each guest speaks to. But if we don't, we recap and come back around to it and say, you know what? If we're going to have a strong democracy, we got to have strong schools. And the only way to have strong schools is to have really great teachers. Speaking of really great teachers, we're going to cut to break here. And then when we come back, I'm going to talk about a really great teacher I know, Teacher Joanna, who was able to point me towards another great teacher who I'll bring in here. And we'll talk about the importance of relationships in classrooms. And Rooted in Relationships, this special podcast that Teacher Joanna shared with me, when we get back after the break.
Although we do have another 4 minutes here.
Oh, we do? I got the time all wrong. Man, I'm all off. Sorry about that, Aaron. Aaron's good with giving me the times and everything, and I timed it on my computer, set a timer, and I was off. I thought we were going to break. So we have 4 minutes, so I'm going to get into it a little bit. So on Wednesday, Educators Amplified, always sharing the mics with us here at Busted Pencils and Civic Media. And we got to talking on the show, and man, I got riled up. I'm just like, I've had it with these different solutions that put teachers as failing, you know, that continue to suggest that, you know, what will fix classrooms is more really expensive curriculum. And I'm just like, I've had it. You know, we need to think about what really good teaching is. And Teacher Joanna, who's a fantastic teacher, because even though we all teach, you know, the grade levels we teach, we're also teachers for one another. Like, you're not just a teacher in life because you're teaching someone something in a classroom. You may be out there with a plumber who has an apprentice. You're teaching that person. So we also do a lot of teaching in our different jobs. Well, Teacher Joanna, who's a master teacher, said, Johnny, I think you got to listen to this podcast, Rooted in Relationships. And in particular, she said, hey, there's this guy. He's, you know, I know him. I know his work. I think you would really like it. Just so happened to be one of the people whose work I had read as a teacher and made the decision to get my PhD to teach teachers. So it all kind of comes full circle. But Teacher Joanna sent me a podcast, Rooted in Relationships. And the special guest on that podcast was Jeff Duncan Andrade. And this guy, man, he is not only an inspiration to me as a teacher, becoming a teacher educator, but for years as I've been, I just like to say it this way, speaking truth to power, right? And one of his this essays, and I'm sharing this tonight because one of the big themes that that was this week that was a little shocking and jolting to me, although you know I'm definitely not a Republican, and I'm not really happy with Democrats right now. And one of the reasons I'm really kind of frustrated with Democrats for it, one of the reasons, there's a few, but one of them for sure is because every Democrat that runs for office always says they're supporting public education. Yet, like our guests on Tuesday shared, the governor of Colorado absolutely is decimating it. And you know what was really hard? And this is why I'm so inspired by guys like Jeff Duncan Andrade, because as a teacher and a teacher educator, one of the things he said, hey, I'm really grateful and I'm really glad that we're seeing this grassroots movement built up around hope. And this is when he was writing, you know, these essays I was reading as a teacher, and he was talking about the Obama administration coming into the presidency. He said, like, okay, on one hand, this is really great, but let's also talk about what's not been so great about it. And one of those not so great things was for sure education. So, this important essay, we're going to come back to it. When I get back after the break, we'll talk about Jeffrey Duncan Andrade, Note to Educators, Hope Required When Growing Roses in Concrete. We'll bring it back. We'll connect it to how teaching is relational. And if you're there, give us a call. So Fully Leaded Education Talk when we get back.
And just for tonight, give us a call at 414-369-6005. Sorry about that. Got that all fixed. So that's 414-369-6005. Just for tonight.
Last segment here, end of the week, it's Friday, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, educator here, talking education, Dr. Johnny here, and we had a little bit of a mix-up with the phones. If you want to give us a call, 414-369-6005, that's just a number for tonight. Aaron has a patch he's got to work around, and we have L.A. Tom on the line. So, Aaron, get my guy on here. L.A. Tom, what's happening, my man?
Hey, Johnny. First off, we the people ultimately are the government and not just one individual. And I hope everybody takes that into consideration. And when you're looking at a teacher, you don't look at someone that's just telling you that they can do it all. You're looking at someone that actually can teach. And I think that's really important for ourselves as a country. And I think also what the difference is between a teacher and AI, and this is something AI will never have, is the fact that a human being has a soul. And I don't care, you know, they did an experiment with little Albert, I think it was, where they put him up in the attic and didn't touch him, did not come near him, or whatever, and he ended up dying because of the fact they didn't have that human contact. And I think it's really, really important that we have that human touch, that we have that human ability not to just teach in one way. I teach every day, but I teach in terms of how it is that I take care of my customers. I explain things to them, but I teach them. And I love teaching. In fact, I would have probably been a teacher like my other five brothers and sisters that were teachers. But I didn't go into it because at that time it was very difficult for, I guess, a gay person to go into teaching, or so I thought. So I never went into it. But I also have been a football coach. I have also taught. I love to teach. In fact, if I ever retire, then, you know, I probably have thought about going back and, you know, being a teacher, because I think it's really, really the most important job. I think it's the most underpaid job. I think it's the most underserved job. And I think it's something that we have to look at and say, you know, again, we have to fix this problem with thinking that government is bad and look at government as actually being good. And we should be able to say, you know, we have some good government teachers. We have some good, we the people, taxpayer-funded teachers. It doesn't mean that the people own the teachers, like some people think. It's the fact that we actually put the emphasis in education in our future in the kids, that because of that, we are willing as a society to put our money towards something that we say is our most valuable resource, and that's our children, and that's the future. So I really think that's one thing AI will never be able to do. I don't think I'm saying this just because, you know, I'm not forward thinking, or I'm not, you know, progressive in my thoughts. I'm talking about human, you know, everyone is getting more and more to this no contact with other people, whether it's on your, when you call and you get a automated voicemail or whatever it might be. And the thing is, the more contact that we do not have with each other as human beings, I think is going to be the downfall to the human race. And I'm not saying that as an older person. I'm thinking that as an actual human being. And I hope people really start realizing that, you know, go and say hello to your neighbor. Teach your neighbor. Teach your neighbor about we the people being the government. Teach your neighbor about the fact that we need to get money out of politics. Teach your neighbor about democracy in a way that is not over their head, but in a way that you can actually talk about things, you know, at a very understandable level, the way Tim and Johnny do each day on Busted Pencils. You know, it's just very, very important that we have good teachers, and not everybody can be a teacher. The thing is, you have people out there that have gone to school that are actual professionals, just like a doctor, just like a lawyer, just like whatever. And people need to respect the teaching profession, because these people actually have worked their butts off to understand the human being and the humanality between people. So I just really, you know, I'm really sad to see what's happened in the state of Wisconsin since Act 10 and with Scott Walker, you know, ruining education, and the Republicans ruining education in that state, breaking down the union, and making it where teachers now have actually don't even want to be in the profession anymore, or got out of the profession because of all that went down in Wisconsin with Act 10. It's had rippling effects, and I hope the heck that they can fix that. And I hope, Tony Evers, you're listening, and you can start actually fixing the problem rather than adding to the problem with having the charters and et cetera. So, Johnny, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom. No, we appreciate it.
I really feel passionate about it. So, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, L.A. Tom, for calling. If you want to give us a call, we got a couple minutes. 414-369-6005. A special number for tonight only. It's a workaround patch because we had to get you directly lined into the studio that we're at tonight. My L.A. Tom, always calling in, and it's always a blessing. It's always great. Appreciate you sharing. And appreciate your passion for education, for democracy, and for exactly what you said, that like highlighting that really great teaching is happening all over the place, but that classroom teaching is a calling. It's also a craft. It's also something people learn to do. And it is absolutely essential in our government. That's a good thing. Tom reminds us, right? Like, government is what we make it. It's an incredible thing to have a democracy. And so, but it's only as strong and it's only as good as we put into it. So that's really important. And I'm going to loop that back around, because we were talking about great teaching. We were talking about Educators Amplified on Wednesday. Teacher Joanna sharing a really helpful podcast with me,
rooted in relationships, which remind me of one of the people who inspired me to be an educated educator. In his essay, Note to Educators, Hope Required When Growing Roses in Concrete, by Jeffrey Duncan Andrade. And he was really critical of hope in the Obama campaign and what Obama and Biden brought to education. And at the end of the day, this is a quote from his essay. At the end of the day, effective teaching depends most heavily on one thing, deep and caring relationships. Join us next week, Busted Pencils. Thank you for listening. Fully Leaded Education Talk.